This morning's scripture is from Jonah. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Well, as you might have guessed, we're continuing in this series looking at the book of Jonah. Jonah, the story of Jonah. Because it's more than a nice children's story that many of us may have learned previously. It's only four chapters long, though, but it is a lot there. And so that's why each week we're taking one chapter at a time to look at that and how it speaks to us. Because, again, it's more than about a whale or a fish. It's really about God's disruptive grace and how we respond to it. So if you're looking for Jonah, though, in the Old Testament, you will find it where? Remember, we're going to learn this. Between the big hitter, the big headliners, you know, Obadiah and Micah, okay? All right, so it's toward the end of the Old Testament. If you can't find Obadiah, you can't find Micah, you're probably not going to find Jonah. But if you find the Gospel of Matthew, and you go back about 30 pages, you'll find one of those, and that'll eventually you'll get there, okay? But if you remember from last week, so Jonah was called by God to go to preach to the city, to those in the city of Nineveh. All right? Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And if you recall, these are the bad boys of the day. Okay? So for Jonah, it represented everything that was wrong with the world. Because the Assyrians, the Ninevites, they were cruel. They conquered nations. They were oppressive. They terrorized people. They were Israel's one of their greatest, if not the greatest, enemy of the time. And so Jonah, like most people, had no desire to go to Nineveh. Okay? Who wants to go there? Jonah doesn't. Probably none of us would either. So instead of traveling east to Nineveh, Jonah boards a ship, okay, that is heading in the opposite direction, west toward the resort town of Tarshish. Now, this was about as far away from Nineveh as you could get during that time. In fact, I got a little map just to kind of help us. You know, so Nineveh, they're kind of modern-day Iraq, and Tarshish all the way over to Spain. That's as far away as you could get back then. That is where Jonah is heading to. So he's not simply running from Nineveh. He's running from God. But as we learned last week, we can run, but we're not going to outrun God. But Jonah's going to try it anyway. So while he's sleeping aboard this ship that is heading toward Tarshish, a violent storm comes up. The sailors are scared. And so what do? They spin a bottle to see what the problem is. Well, actually, they don't spin a bottle. They do something much like it. They cast lots, which back then was just a sort of like flipping a coin or spinning a bottle or drawing straws. It was just a prayerful way to discern what's behind, what's going on. And so they believed God would tell them through these means what was happening. And through that, they discerned that, you know what, all this storm's all because of Jonah. So when you got a bad egg on board, what do? You get rid of it, don't you? And so that's what they do. They wake Jonah up. They end up throwing him overboard. End of story. Well, for the sailors, maybe, but not for Jonah. Jonah finds himself in this raging ocean in the middle of this storm, but instead of drowning, what does God do? God sends a great big, yes, fish. Not necessarily, it could be in a well, but we don't know. It says, as we saw a moment ago in the scripture, a great big fish swallows Jonah whole. Now think about it. Talk about a bad day. Okay? I mean, here you are snoozing away on a cruise ship, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the ocean being thrown overboard, and then if that's not enough, in the belly of a fish. Not exactly the vacation any of us would want or desire or expect, especially Jonah. Now, in the kids' version of the story, Jonah is often depicted as comfortably hanging out in the belly of this big fish. Seen him? Actually, this is a scene from the Geppetto, the Disney's movie Pinocchio and Geppetto, who was swallowed by a whale, right? It's kind of loosely based on this story. But you get this image that it wasn't such a bad place. Reality is, anytime, I mean, Jonah himself refers to it as being in a pit. Pit is not a good place. If you've ever been literally in a pit, it's not a good place. Maybe we've never literally been in a pit, but we've all experienced what a pit is like. It is not a place that you want to be in, right? Maybe your pit was a diagnosis that you received that you didn't want to hear. Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it's overwhelming debt or shame, something you wish you could undo. All of us have probably been in a pit of some sort. And it's a place none of us wants to be. It's a place we all want to get out of. And the first thing we do when we find ourselves in a pit is, well, we usually try to get out by our own means, don't we? But if we pray, many times our prayer is what? Lord, get me out of here, right? Lord, fix this. We don't want to be in the pit. And it's interesting, Jonah prays, of course, when he finds himself in the belly of this fish, in this pit, as he refers to it. He prays as well, but it's interesting what Jonah prays. Jonah doesn't pray about, hey, Lord, fix this. He doesn't bargain with God. He doesn't even complain. He doesn't blame God. This is what Jonah prays. In my distress, I called to the Lord, so I pray. And he answered me. I sank down to the roots of the mountains. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. It's interesting. Jonah never asked God to save him. Instead, what we find in this prayer is Jonah beginning to surrender to God. For the first time in the story, he stopped running. Well, he didn't have a great choice because he got swallowed by a fish. But beginning to recognize that he cannot outrun God. He can't control every situation, and he can't save himself. When I was in high school, my senior year in high school, I got certified as a lifeguard. So I went to the YMCA in High Point, North Carolina, where they were holding the lifeguard classes, and so I had to go once a week, I forget for how many weeks, to take my lifeguard class. And I can remember the instructor telling me that, you know, obviously they taught us how to save somebody. Lifeguards learned how to save people. But the instructor made sure to tell us that, you know, when you approach someone who is drowning, guess what? They're still trying to save themselves. And so you need to remember that that person who is drowning is oftentimes going to be fighting the very person who is trying to save them because they're panicking. They're kicking and they're grabbing and they're doing all these things trying to save themselves. And so they told us the first thing you do when you approach someone is you try to calm them down. You try to say, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm here. It's going to be all right. I've got you. Relax. Try to get them to calm down just a little bit. Whether they do or not, that's another story. But that's what you're attempting to do, because the person in that moment who's finding themselves in that kind of bad place, that dark place, is trying to save themselves. And I think many times when we find ourselves in whatever pit that we're in, our first step many times is to try to save ourselves. To try harder. Jonah begins, though, to surrender. Lord, I've been running. I've been fighting this long enough. I've been trying to control this, trying to avoid whatever. I surrender. I trust that you got me. Jonah couldn't save himself, so what does he do? He surrenders. And in his surrendering, what he discovers is that in the surrendering, that is the only way that he was going to live. But Jesus himself said this. He said, whoever wants to save their life will what? Interesting. Whoever loses their life for my sake are the ones who will find it. The way God's kingdom has always worked. Life comes through surrender. Freedom comes through letting go. Hope begins the moment we start pretending that we can rescue ourselves. Sometimes it takes a pit for us to realize that, as it did for Jonah. So Jonah finally stops fighting. He stops running. He surrenders. And in that, he discovers what's been there all along. And that was that the fish was not punishment. The fish was God's grace. Think about it. The fish wasn't God's punishment. The fish was God's grace. You know, many people, they'll read the story of Jonah and they assume that the fish is God's way of punishing this reluctant prophet, this disobedient prophet. But if God had wanted to punish Jonah, you know, the sea would have been enough. The storm would have been enough. That's not what God did. Instead, God appoints a fish not to destroy him, but to preserve him. Because fish wasn't a prison. It was the rescue, wasn't it? It wasn't God's wrath. It was God's mercy. It is much bigger than a children's story. I think a lot of times, sometimes we mistakenly look at God's rescue as the punishment. Because it doesn't look the way we expect it to. Or it doesn't come to us in the way that we expect it to. You know, we pray for God to fix this, to remove this difficulty. Instead, God meets us in the middle of it. We ask God to take away the struggle. And God says, well, no, here's what I'll do. I'll walk with you through the struggle. I'll transform you or this struggle. Because, you know, God's not about creating hardship. See how well we will cope. The world's broken enough. We have enough hardship, right? We don't need God doing that. And we live in a broken world. There's sickness, there's loss, there's disappointment. We don't make the right choices. The other people make choices that impact us in negative kind of ways. God doesn't cause it, but what God does is, as I've said many times, enters into it, redeems it, uses even the darkest places, the deepest pits we find ourselves in, bring something good out of that to accomplish his purposes. What Paul, again, you know, we quote this all the time, God works in all things for good for those who love him. It's not that all things are good. It doesn't, Paul's not saying that. He said, it's just reminding us that God can bring good out of something as dark as a pit. Most often, that's where we encounter God, as Jonah did. Jonah prays. And then the next thing he says is this. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. So again, Jonah's surrendering. And in that, he's realizing these things. And he's recognizing that he's been clinging on to what? To this prejudice? The Ninevites? The Assyrians? His resentments? His unforgiveness? His pride? His anger? So for Jonah, those things have become idols. They're not wooden, they're not stone, but they're idols of the heart. I mean, we all got them. Okay, let's be honest. We got them. We're prideful. We let fear control us. There's bitterness, there's shame, and what do? We grab hold of those things. We cling to them, as it says in Jonah. We cling to those, and when we're clinging to those, there's no room for us to receive what God is offering us. no room for us to receive the grace. Because you can only receive something by letting go of something. If we're clinging on to something, you got to let it go in order to receive something new. So in this case, in Jonah's case, and when it relates to our faith, we have this habit of clinging on to things. Not good things. And God's saying, I want you to surrender those things to me so that you might experience my grace. And this is what Jonah is finally beginning to do. He's loosening his grip on these things he's been clinging to that has been keeping him from God. His pride, his self-righteousness, all these things. In that, something begins to happen for Jonah. Before Jonah ever leaves the fish, before his circumstances ever improve, before he experiences dry land, this is what he prays. Notice what he prays. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I say, salvation comes from the Lord. So you got to remember, this is what Jonah is praying while he's inside the fish. His circumstances have not changed. He's still in the dark. He's still in the pit. He's still waiting. There's still uncertainty, I'm sure. Circumstances have not changed, and yet his heart is beginning to. He's not asking, oh Lord, why me? He's giving praise, isn't he? He's thanking God. Jonah gives thanks before he's rescued. That's odd, isn't it? But what he's realizing is hope is no longer in escaping the fish, the one, all right, who's never let him go. Grace he's beginning to understand. This is what I love about this, is because it reminds us that gratitude does not have to wait until our circumstances improve. Gratitude doesn't have to wait for our circumstances to improve. I mean, a lot of times we want to postpone gratitude. We wait until what? Until things get better. And when things get better, we say, oh, well, thank you, Lord. I'll thank God when I get a job, or this relationship improves, or, you know, this gets easier, whatever it might be. This, we have this tendency to thank God after the fact. But here's Jonah thanking God before things get better. He's not pretending he's not inside this fish. He's just simply believing that God's grace is greater than his present circumstances. Why, you know, Paul could say, I give thanks in all circumstances. We see that in Jonah as well. And out of all of this, Jonah chapter 2 ends with these words. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It spit Jonah out onto dry land. So, the fish didn't give Jonah, didn't give Jonah a way out. The fish was giving Jonah a way forward. As we'll see next week when we look at chapter 3 and then on chapter 4, he's given Jonah a way forward. That's what grace does. It gives us this way forward. It doesn't absolve us of the circumstances. Okay? Right? Jonah still has consequences he has to deal with. He still has things to learn. His heart may be beginning to change, but let me tell you, it has not been transformed. All right, and we'll see that following chapters. Right? He's not suddenly perfect. He's simply letting go and receiving God's grace in this moment. And in doing that, what is it doing? It's giving him another opportunity. It's giving him a new future. It is giving him another chance to say yes to God, because God hasn't changed his call. He hasn't said, okay, Jonah, you don't have to go to Nineveh. The call remains the same, and that is, Jonah, it wants you to go to Nineveh. So it's giving Jonah this another chance to say yes. More than a children's story. It's a story not about somebody else. It's really our story when you think about it. Because we probably know what it's like to run from God. We definitely know what it's like to make mistakes. We probably experienced something like a pit, maybe not literally in the belly of a fish, okay? But we found ourselves in our own pits before. We probably have wondered if we've gone too far, if we've messed up too much, or somehow we've missed our chance. And yet Jonah says, you know what? The pit is not the end of the story. The fish is not the end of the story. It's not even the main character of the story. It just the vehicle of God's grace. It's what we experience when we stop running. When we admit that we cannot save ourselves. That there is indeed another chance and another chance. Because God's in the business of that. So here's what I want to invite you to do today. Okay? So yeah, I invite you to take a breath, close your eyes. I want you to take your hands, lay them out before you with your palms up. Okay, so just kind of close your eyes and lay your hands before you with your palms, with the palms up. Now I invite you to slowly just close your hands. And as you do that, I want you to think about what it is that you're clinging to. What are you holding on to? What have you not been able to release? It might be a resentment. It might be some anger about something. It might be a fear. It might be something that, you know what, some shame and some guilt in regards to something that you did in your past or a decision that you made or you didn't make. Or maybe it's as simply as always trying to be in control. But what is it that you're clinging on to? What are you clinging to? Name it before God. God already knows it, but it's about naming it for ourselves that it becomes, we begin to recognize it. Again, no one needs to know. But this is where I invite you to pray. Lord, help me let go of whatever it is that came to your mind. Lord, help me let go of. Help me let go of. You fill in that blank. Lord, help me. As you pray that, Lord, help me let go of that. I want you to just very slowly again, open your hands back up. Just open them back up. There's a difference. You can feel it, I hope. Now, let me tell you, the circumstances have not changed. The problem may still be there. The answer may not have come yet. But just in this act, what are we doing? We're surrendering. We're saying to God, Lord, help me let go of this. Help me not to cling to this. Let go so that I might receive your grace. Like Jonah, choose to believe that the story is not over. Because let me tell you, the God who brought Jonah out of this pit can bring us out of whatever pit we're in. God who gives Jonah another chance, another chapter to his life. Doing the same for us. Inviting us. Say, hey, let's write some new chapters together. Jonah's story is our story. All of us are clinging to something that we need to surrender to God so that we might receive his grace. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks that you pursue us when we run. You meet us in the pit, whatever pit that is for us, oh Lord, and you offer us grace. Grace when we need it the most. So Lord, teach us to surrender what it is that we can't control, that we cling to so tightly to. to recognize your grace even in the most difficult of places. Because of that, there's always a future. So Lord, may we open our hands, release what we've been holding on to, and trust you and receive that grace. Follow you where you lead. Render all. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.